All right, turn your Bibles to Thessalonians 4, 5, 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4. And actually, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 21 to get started here. I'll read from 1 Thessalonians. We'll have many of other verses. It won't be as long as it was last week. Last week was really long, so it won't be that long here this week. It'll be longer than 15 minutes, I promise you that, though. So, but we'll try to move it along here. I don't have nearly as much to cover as I did. If I did it all over again, I would split those two up a little bit more, those two on holiness, because it's a lot to take in. This is actually the second one on holiness. It's the sanctified life, but it is, I should have kind of bled some of that over to this one here. I didn't realize that it was going to go so long, but we got started a little bit earlier, so we're fine. All right, but this one won't be as long. Not to try to move too fast, because I hope you came to be here, not to get out. But the Bible says this, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now this is, let's pray. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd speak to every heart. And Lord, I pray that we would receive the lesson that you have for us here from your word today, apply it to our lives, and that we would leave changed, having received this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, in 1 Thessalonians, we covered that. In 2 Timothy, we see if a man therefore purge himself from these, talking about a vessel of honor. In this Christian life series, this is the fifth message in that. The first message was the crucified life. I'll not go over that. You can listen to it. The surrendered life, the separated life. All right, and then the life of holiness, which is the fourth message, which was last week. And then this is the second part of that, a sanctified vessel, or a vessel unto honor for the Lord. That is what God wants us to be, is a vessel of honor. In this Christian life, we should be living a sanctified or consecrated life unto the Lord, being a consecrated vessel. What does that mean? Yes, contrary to what goes on today, really what the Bible is saying here is that you are to be a vessel of honor unto the Lord. That God didn't just save you to leave you the same old way. He put His Spirit inside of you when you believed with came in repentance and faith and were born again. He gave you the Spirit of God to change you and make you more like His Son. The Bible says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That predestination is involved with you after you receive Christ, that God has predestined you to be conformed to His image. Amen? That's what God wants you to be, more like Christ. He didn't leave you the same old way He found you, amen? That's a blessing. Now, what does it mean? Number one, what does it mean to be consecrated or sanctified? Well, listen, our souls are made consecrated or sanctified by Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says this, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied, the verse says. Listen, that's the operation of the Holy Ghost of God. That's the operation of the Trinity on the soul, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's not according to your knowledge. That's why we go preach the gospel to every creature, because we don't have foreknowledge. Amen? We don't have foreknowledge. God does, but you and I don't. So we preach to everybody. Through sanctification of the Spirit. That is the inward sanctification, that He sets you apart. He sanctifies you. Amen? Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice that. Unto obedience. You see, the third part of this verse shows you that internal sanctification is of the Lord, but external is your responsibility. It's unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is about your obedience to God. Your relationship with God can be boiled down to one word, obedience. Your relationship with Him is very important to God, and obedience is of the utmost importance. Obedience to what? His Word. Amen? Not me, but His Word. Not you and I, but to God's Word. His Word is the standard for everything. We must come to... It's not the church that is the standard, it's the Word of God that is the standard. Amen? You see, that's what is said there. Remember, we said that mimicking God is holy, or being holy. Following God, obeying God and His precepts. Following Him is being holy. It is. Following in His ways. Jesus said, follow me. Amen? Follow thou me. Now, what does that word consecration or sanctification mean? The act or ceremony of separating from a common to a sacred use, or of devoting and dedicating a person or thing to the service and worship of God. By certain rites, consecration does not make a person or a thing really holy, but declares it to be sacred. That is, devoted to God or to divine service, as the consecration of the priest among the Israelites, the consecration of the vessels used in the temple, the consecration of a bishop, the Bible talks about as well. That means to be made holy, consecrated, set apart for sacred uses. That's what the Old Testament, we see that in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 29, for Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. God wants us to be consecrated vessels unto him. And in Numbers chapter 6, it gives us a perfect example of consecration to the Lord. You can see that later in your own studies. The New Testament passages teach us that we are to be sanctified or consecrated unto the Lord. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy vessels of honor unto God, which is your reasonable service. Preached a sermon about that a few or two or three, maybe four, 6 months ago. I don't even remember how long it's been, but it's been a while ago. And you can read that, you can listen to that sermon online, but it deals with being a living sacrifice unto God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Remember, that sanctified life or that consecrated life says that I am declaring myself holy unto the Lord. Now, He must internally declare you that by salvation. But externally, it is me that has to say, you know what? I will follow you. I will be consecrated. I am going to set myself apart for the use of God. Amen? In my life. Folks, this world needs that so badly today. They need some Christians that are willing to set themselves apart and say, I am consecrated unto the Lord. Whether that puts me at odds with my family, whether that puts me at odds with my friends, whether it puts me at odds with those around me, I am going to live for God. I am going to follow His ways. I am going to live a holy, consecrated life unto God. Amen. That's what God wants. Don't you want others, think about this, don't you want others to see that you are consecrated? Do you not want others to see that you are consecrated unto God, that you are set apart for God's use? That's not just for pastors and preachers, and that sometimes we think that that's just for, oh, that's just a pastor. No, it's not. It's all of us. We are all equal at the foot of the cross. We are all the same. We are all subject to the Word of God. We all must live a life that honors Jesus Christ. Amen? We're all to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Are you living that consecrated Christian life? Are you a vessel of honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask another question. Why would a child of God, one that has been saved, been born again, why would he not want to be consecrated unto Him? Oh, that way is too narrow. Yes, it is very narrow. But it's also a command of God. Why would he not want to be meet for the Master's use? If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you should have a desire to be consecrated to Him. And number two, what is the major instrument God uses to aid His children in the consecrated life? Well, that would be the Word of God. Turn to John chapter 17. That would be the Bible, the Word of God. God uses His Word to consecrate you outwardly. Just simply in John chapter 17, in verse number 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. Jesus went on to say, actually, up a few verses in verse number 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. You and I aren't supposed to go live as hermits somewhere. Amen? We're not to go live in a cave somewhere. Amen? We are not to, he said, I would that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Why? If they are out of the world, then they are of no use. to God. If they are out of the world, then they are of no use to God. That's why God leaves you in the world, so you can be a vessel of honor unto Him. That's why God keeps us here. He didn't just save you to say, okay, I'm taking you home. If He didn't want you to do anything for Him, if your life didn't have any meaning or purpose in the Lord, you don't need a purpose-driven life book to get to find your purpose. You have the Word of God. Your purpose is to honor and glorify God. That is your purpose. Amen? That's what God wants from His children. Notice what Jesus said, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Their sanctification, your sanctification, my sanctification, comes through the truth, the Word of God. Amen? Notice the number one agent of that sanctification is the Word of God. If you will ever be a vessel of honor unto the Lord, it will be done through meditating and following God's Word. No one ever grew spiritually who separated himself from this book. Never. You will not grow by keeping yourself away from this book. Christ's prayer is, sanctify them through thy truth. The more truth you believe, the more sanctified you will be. The operation of truth upon the mind is to separate a man from the world unto the service of God. Just in proportion as truth is given up, worldliness and frivolity are sure to prevail. When you give up truth and you say, okay, I know that to be true, but I'm not going to follow it, you are heading down the track of worldliness. Because you are separating from the only thing that sanctifies you, and that's God's Word. Oh, I've seen it, folks. Somebody has a problem spiritually, or they're growing spiritually, you ask them a few questions. When's the last time you meditated on God's Word and opened God's book up? Oh, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 days ago. Maybe a month ago, I've had somebody tell me, I haven't read my Bible in a month. I've had people look at me and say, I don't remember the last time I read my Bible. And you're wondering why you're having problems spiritually? It's a good indication that you have not opened up God's Word, and that's the reason why you're having some spiritual problems right now. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And guess what? You have no sword to fight him with. You've not been spiritually strengthened by the Word of God. You have no sword to fight with. So you come out and that lion comes about and sin and temptation come about and devour you. They devour you and you wonder why. Well, you have no sword of the Spirit. You're not fighting with your sword. You're walking into enemy territory. Don't you understand this world is not your home? You're just passing through. If you're a born-again believer, that this world hates you? See, that sounds crazy. People don't hate me. No, they hate the God that represents you, that you represent, though. Now, individually, you're going to have friends, but this world system is anti-Christ. I can show you verse after verse after verse through Scripture that proves that this world is anti-Christ. I'll prove it to you. You can pray God's name in Congress anytime you want to. You mention Jesus, and man, they get the cameras there and everything's rolling. They tell chaplains, if you don't pray in Jesus' name. Whatever you do, don't pray in Jesus' name. Why? Why? Because you can have a little bit of religion, but boy, when you start naming Jesus Christ, who is God, and you start mentioning that, uh-oh. That name causes problems. Well, it sure does. That name has always caused problems. Amen? That name will forever cause problems. Amen? When you open up this word, the devil flees from you. Amen? He will flee. The devil will flee from you when you open up God's word. Christ's prayer is, sanctify them through thy truth. The more truth you believe, the more sanctified you will be. The operation of truth upon the mind is to separate you from that. There is no other formula for victory in this Christian life than meditating and following God's Word. There is no other way for victory in this life. No other way for victory for the Christian than to meditate on God's Word. the difference in your life as a victorious Christian and that of those that are not victorious is that where you base it on the Word or not, whether you base it on God's Word or not. If you are strong in God's Word and you stand on God's Word, then you will be strong against the devil because it's the Word of God that dwells in you. But when you don't meditate on God's Word, you will not live victoriously. And you wonder why. When you don't need to wonder why, the answer is right there. Famous quote, this book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. And that's very true. The longer you stay away from this book, the more you will sin. The more you will actively sin. The more you will plan to sin. I've talked to people that have been away from the Word of God, haven't read it for months and months and months and months and months, and you'd be surprised what you're capable of doing. Why do you think God told David and the kings to read this book and copy it out and memorize it and copy it out all the time? Why did he tell David that? Because he knew that David was going to sin with Bathsheba. He knew that the man after God's own heart was going to fall like that. You say, how could such a mighty man fall? Because he disobeyed this book and he kept himself from it. And when you keep yourself from this book, you will fall. And you will not be a vessel of sanctification. Why? Because this is the cleanser. Amen. This is the cleanser, right here. You will want nothing to do with sin when you are sanctified as a vessel of honor unto the Lord. You will despise the sin in your life. You will despise it. Fall to the flesh and give in? Yes, we do. But revel and enjoy it and feast on God's Word? It will not happen. The two do not happen. Those who are habitually in sins do not open this book up and meditate on His precepts. I can promise you that. Because as soon as you open this book and you're reveling in sin, it indicts you. And you open it up and you read it and you say, oh my, what have I done? I'll either shut it, ignore it, or I'll repent and feast on it. But you won't do both. You won't. You won't revel in sin and open up God's Word. You won't do it. It'll reprove you. Because truth is the great purifier for the child of God. It is the sanctifier. It purifies the conscience of a man. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 26, he says this, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What does he use to do that with? What does he purify the church with? What does he purify each member with? The Word of God. So the further that the churches get from basing their script, their assembly on the Word of God, the less sanctified they are. When your polity or your practice in your church does not match the Word of God, what happens? The people are not sanctified. So they walk in sin, and then when you pour the Word of God on them, they do one of two things. They leave, or they get right. Amen. And it is my job, as my calling in life, to preach it and to purify through the Word of God. And I cannot be concerned if they leave. Love them, go after them, try, absolutely. But in the end, the decision is yours to make whether you will be cleansed by the Word or you will run from the Word and rebel against the Word of God. Don't you see that it's all of God and not of you? Your sanctification, even your sanctification, your external sanctification, is through the agent of the Word of God. It is the primary cleansing agent that you use. Howbeit, it's the one that you stay away from mostly. You'll read everything else but it. You'll read other things that have nothing to do with it. You'll stay away from it. Not much of the materials in the books that you read are not based off of the Word of God. You'll stay away from it. Why? Because the Word of God is what cleanses you. And sometimes we like to be dirty. I said we, I didn't say you. We're all the same. Amen? But notice that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. We are in our churches today, we are looking for programs for everything to fix everything. We're looking for the program for the drug abuser. We're looking for the program for this person. We're looking for the program for that person. We're looking for the program for this person. When God says, you know what? Here's your cleansing agent. Here's your sanctifying agent. Here it is. I gave it to you. It's alive forevermore. It's my word that's inspired by me. Use it. Apply it to your life. Allow it to cleanse your life. That's what changes a person. Amen? By the washing of water, by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. Why was that important? Because a sacrifice well-pleasing to God had to be holy and without blemish in the Old Testament. If it had a blemish, you could not offer it. Don't you see that he gave his word here for you to be a vessel of honor and you're to allow this to work in your life? And when you don't, there's blemishes and spots. And that's why our lives many times are not acceptable to God. Amen? Because we're not allowing the Word of God to work in us. The church as a body will be sanctified by the Word of God. Again, that's why the most important activity in the assembly should be the preaching and teaching and meditating and prayer on God's Word. It should not be anything else. We have made far to do with other things, too much to do with other things. We have made music of primary importance in the church, and it was always about the Word of God in the assembly. You look at every assembly ever, and music is not the main thing in the assembly. It was the preaching of God's Word. Paul preached for 5 or 6 hours at a time, 8 hours at a time sometimes. Poor kid fell off from the top balcony and died, and he had to go revive him. Sometimes I look at you guys, and you look like somebody's got to revive you after you've been here for an hour. Amen? That was a joke. I'm just kidding. Sort of. There's always little truth to humor, right, Brother Meyer? That's right. I'm just not going to tell you what it is. Anyway. That's why the church's design and practice should be in accordance with the Scripture. It should be, thus saith the Lord, not what saith man. Your assurance should come from the Word of God because it's the truth and the sanctifier of man. You will never be consecrated outwardly without the constant application and meditation on the Word of God. Daily cleaning. Just like you take a shower daily, you've got to be cleansed by the Word of God daily. You must be. Some of you are so clean that you wouldn't drink out of a vessel that has some little bit of speck or spot, but you will go through your life without reading God's Word every day, and you won't let yourself be sanctified by God's Word, but you'll be worried about germs or dirt on a cup. How about your cup? How about your cup being filled up and sanctified and clean? Your spiritual cup. I guarantee you those germs aren't going to kill you, but not following this Word will. Amen. That was free. It didn't even cost anything. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said this, "The truth is a sanctifier. And if we do not read or hear the truth, we shall not grow in sanctification. We only progress in sound living as we progress in sound understanding." You sent me a verse yesterday. "My people are destroyed all the day long for lack of knowledge." Do you know why most of our lives are in such turmoil when they are? Ignorance of God's Word. Plain and simple, ignorance of God's Word. We don't know God's Word and we offend Him and we get into trouble and we trip up and we have problems happen in our life. And the reason why is because my people are destroyed all the day long for lack of knowledge. You don't know when you're offending God because you don't know Him. I didn't say He doesn't know you. You don't know Him. Because when you get into this book, and it's the great sanctifier, this book shows you the mind of God. I get the mind of the Lord from the Word of God. And when I get that, it changes me. And then I know what offends God, and what doesn't offend Him, what He likes and what He dislikes, what He doesn't want in my life. Amen? And I get that from the Bible. Because it's the great sanctifier of man, of the saved man. Number three, what are the reasons that I should live the consecrated life for Jesus Christ? Well, number one, because it fulfills the purpose of man. I should be a vessel of honor because it fulfills the purpose that God saved you. You were created to please God. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. All things. All things. You were created for God's pleasure. I know you and I forget that sometimes, that we are bought and paid for with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your mind, which are God's. I know we forget that we're a purchased possession, so we say, no, I want what I want. I want to live in the flesh. I want to please my flesh. I want to do what pleases me. But God said, ye are not your own. You are bought and paid for with a price. Therefore, glorify God. When you and I are a vessel of honor, it brings glory and honor to God, which is our purpose. That is our purpose. I didn't even have to write a big book and sell it to you. Our purpose is to glorify God. There you go. Case closed. Plain and simple. Won't even charge you for it. We were created to glorify Him. We were given the new birth to glorify God, not to merely just save us from the wrath of God so that we would be a vessel of honor unto Him. He didn't just save you from hell. That's what we just lose sight of, folks. Yes, I'm glad that I'm not going to hell. I thank God every day I'm not going to hell. I'm so glad I'm not going to burn in hell. I understand all that. But you know what? That is the benefit of being forgiven. Don't you understand that? It is not the chief end of man that he does not go to hell. That is humanism in its highest form. The chief end of man is to glorify God. And He saved you so you would be a vessel to glorify Him with. So you would manifest God's glory. That's why He saved you. He didn't save you so you'd live like that old dirty vessel that cannot be used, that nobody would want to drink out of, and nobody would want to use, and God wouldn't want to touch because you have a blemish and a spot on you. No, He saved you to make you more like His Son so you would bring glory to Him. Did not Jesus Christ bring glory to the Father when He came and lived a perfect sinless life and gave His life a ransom for your soul? That He should taste death for every man? Not my will, but Thy will be done, Father. He tasted death for every man. His life honored Him. He didn't say, well, God, I don't know if I want to do this. I think I might change my mind. No. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Thy will. You, God, not about me. My life's to bring honor and glory to You. That's what I'm here for. That's why you're to be a vessel of honor. You might have thought it was just to go soul winning and reach others. That's very important, and we'll get to that. But that's not the main thing. See, we're all messed up today. We think that we go soul winning because people are going to hell. And that's the first reason. That is not the first reason that you and I witness. The first reason you and I witness is because it brings honor and glory to God when we obey Him and keep His commandments. It's about your relationship with the Heavenly Father. It's about your life bringing honor and glory. Yes, people are going to go to hell, and I hate to break it to you, the more we witness, the more people are going to go to hell. I don't like it. I'm not happy about it. But that's the way it is because they choose to reject God. It's their choice to make whether they reject Jesus Christ. We bring them the message, though, and we continue to bring them the message, and we forever till our dying day bring them the message of salvation. But understand this, it's about you and Him. It's about you answering to Him for you being a vessel, what you do in your own body, you'll answer to God for. There is accountability in this Christian life. There's accountability here, and there's accountability when you stand before Him. Amen. We were created to glorify Him. Don't you see, dear Christian brother and sister, that God had saved you so your life would bring Him that glory? Let me ask you a question. Ought not Christ to receive the reward of His labors? Should He not receive the reward of His labors? He worked and He gave His life a ransom, and should not you glorify Him so He could receive the reward of His work? He deserves it. We honor Him because He's worthy. We live for Him because He's worthy. But you and I miss that point so many times. We think we're worthy. So that's why we go out and work for Him, because we're worthy. No, it's not. It's because He's worthy. And my work isn't about me, it's about Him. My calling in life, me standing on this point, it's not about me, it's about Him. That's why I have to say things that I don't like to say sometimes, and preach things that I don't like to preach sometimes. And I get funny looks from people when I do. And you know why? It's because I have to preach what He wants, because it's not about me. Because whether you curse me, throw stones at me, kill me, whatever happens to me, and I go to heaven, I know I'm standing up before Him. And it's not about me, it's about him. So I'll take the dirty looks. I'll take people being mad at me. Amen? Why? Because it's not about me, it's about him. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter. When you come to your life and you realize that you'll be a vessel of honor when you decide that and you see in your heart, in your life, that it doesn't matter what you want, it matters what his word says. You need to write that on your mirror in the morning. It doesn't matter what I want, it matters what God's word says. You'd live a happier life, a more fulfilled, victorious Christian life, if you said, you know what? It doesn't matter what I want, it matters what God's word says. It doesn't matter if I like what it says, it only matters that it says it. It doesn't matter if I like it or not. It matters what he says. If you live your life like that, then you'll be able to make decisions like that for your life. But right now, when you're on the fence, you can't make decisions like that. You cannot say that because you're on the fence. You can't say, no, nevertheless, thy will be done. No, it's I want what I want. But when you give in to God's word, you say, okay, Lord, it's whatever you want now with my life, not what I want. There'll be a lot of people that disagree with you. Makes no difference. I have it happen all the time. Amen? I understand it. I've accepted it. That when you follow God, people are going to disagree with you. People are not going to like it. But it's never changed me. Because I know who I have to answer to, and it's not about me, it's about bringing glory to Him. When you consecrate yourself and live a holy life for the Lord, you are manifesting the glory of God. You cannot add to God's glory. He is infinitely glorious. But what you can do as a Christian is manifest His glory so that the world may see Christ in you, the hope of all ages. That's what your life is supposed to be about. Not about your insecure fears. Not about you, but about Him. But hey, in all honesty, and as kind as I can say, we are all too stuck on us. You're so busy worrying about you and thinking about you that you can't be a vessel to honor God because I'm too busy worrying about me. What makes me happy? What pleases me? What brings glory and honor to me? Ouch. Be honest with yourself. Is that not true? I want what brings honor and glory to me. I cannot suffer myself to be defrauded for you, Lord. I cannot have my brother stab me in the back and still follow you. I cannot be uncomfortable, Lord. I cannot have these hard choices to make, Lord. I don't like these choices, Lord. I don't want to do them. I want to do it my way. And then I cannot be a vessel of honor to Him. Because my chief end is to glorify God, and when I'm not fulfilling that, life doesn't work. You remember this one thing. Your life being consecrated brings glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You and I, He should receive glory in the church. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the people receiving any glory. It's about Christ receiving the glory in His church. It's His church. He bought and paid for it. You know, that's why I'm not allowed to bend into you if you say, well, pastor, I don't like this part of the preaching. Could you not do this? Or could you change this? Or could you change that? And let's do this. When God reveals His word to me and the truth to me, I'm not changing. Or else God just needs, I just need to leave. Because the day I hearken to the voice of people over that of the book, I am not fit for office. Not fit. If I shudder at their looks when they're upset with me, if they tried to starve me out by not giving, amen. I've seen that happen before in churches. Well, fine then. If he's going to do this, then we're going to do this. Oh, you go ahead and do it. Because I know who feeds me. and is God. And He has always taken care of me. Isn't that amazing? I've even seen times where man would not want to help me one bit. But God would just bring something. Like a bird delivered it right to my door. And not another man knew the need, but God knew it. And He would use somebody outside of the whole situation that said, well, I think I need to do this, and they'd send something. Why? Because it's His church. It's not mine. I don't own the church. Christ does. It's His. He purchased it with His own blood. So He should receive the honor and glory that truly is His. Not me. Not you. So many want the preeminence today in the house of God. So many want it. The members want it. The pastor wants it. It's all about that. Well, I guarantee you don't come to this church because you like my personality. I guarantee you that. I guarantee it. Amen? Quit laughing, Brother Bison. Even though it is very charming. At least my wife thinks so, right? Oh, that's funny. Anyway, the next reason you and I must consecrate ourselves is because the lost or others will see that and behold your godly conversation and say of a truth, God worketh in them. Don't you understand that in the Old Testament they saw the vessels of honor and they saw what they did and they said those were consecrated vessels? Truth brings honor to God. Jesus said this, Paul said this, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. They see your chaste conversation coupled with fear. The Bible talks about godly wives trying to reach their husbands, and they see their conversation, their chaste conversation, coupled with fear and reverence and respect, and it changes them. It has an influence on that man. Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on them through their word. What was he saying? Those that follow the truth are sanctified, and I pray for those that see the truth in them and follow them because of the truth. Truth brings honor to God. When in the Old Testament they saw the Nazarite and his vow, they knew that he was consecrated unto the Lord. Why? Because he touched not the unclean thing. And he was sanctified because of it. Where is the vow of God's people today? To touch not the unclean thing. Where is the consecration of God's people today? To stay separate from wickedness. To not go about the same riotous living as this world, but to be different. To stand up and say, no, I'm sorry, we don't do that. Why? Well, because I have a conviction from the Word of God against it. And God says it's not good to be with. God says to abstain from all appearance of evil. To reprove the works of darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You've got Christians today that are blatantly following things that are wicked and wrong, and they're fine with it. Because there's some romanticism in it or something. Like the Twilight series and things like that. That's all demonic, wicked stuff. It's not biblical, it's demonic. It's absolutely demonic. That stuff's not right. Harry Potter and stuff like that, taking their kids to watch that stuff, is wicked. It's Satanism. The lady studied Satanism. She studied it. She's made $1 billion off of Christians. Oops. I mean people. Hey, I've seen it. I've seen Christians go ahead and go along with that stuff. I didn't say they weren't saved, but they're not being a vessel of honor unto God. How are you going to explain to somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ while you're watching Harry Potter and Twilight about a bunch of vampires that are out fornicating? Come on. Hey, if you can defend it with the Bible, go for it. But you and I both understand that it's wicked. I didn't say you're not saved. I said, you're not being a vessel of honor. It's demonic activity. It's wickedness. It's glorifying death and wickedness. Come on. And it's rampant among Christians today. Those that name the name of Christ, it is rampant. They get their teenage daughters and their teenage boys involved in this stuff, mostly the daughters, and they get attracted to these movies and this series and all that kind of stuff. They think it's cute. It's not cute. It's wicked. And what you teach your children is cute now, they will double down on that when they get older. When you don't separate from all those scary movies, wickedness and all that kind of stuff that goes out there, people say, oh, it's harmless, it don't hurt anything. Really? Hurts your testimony. Amen? It's old-fashioned, folks. I know it's old-fashioned biblical, but it's still... these truths are timeless and they're from eternity. I didn't make them up. I didn't make it up, folks. Bible says in the Old Testament, suffer not a witch to live. Now, we don't kill witches today. I'm just saying. That was Old Testament law to Israel. But the one application that we apply to that is have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You think that brings God honor and glory when we're having Halloween and we're playing all these games and everything else and we're yucking up all the Satanism that's involved in all that stuff? Do you think that brings honor to God when Christians delve into things like that? It doesn't, folks. It just doesn't. And you can walk away and you can say, wow, that guy, he's just too... This world's not like that. I know it's not. Believe me, I know it's not. And I'm glad I'm not part of it either. I really am. I'm not perfect. I sin too. Amen? I've got sins too. I'm just telling you that those blatant things out there in front of people to see, and then we wonder why we have no testimony with others. Because we go about the same cursing and wickedness and watch the same filth and nudity and everything else that the world does. We watch the same things and then people say, well, what do I need your life for? You watch the same thing I do. Blasphemous movies and things of that, that blaspheme God and make fun of the Bible and make fun of the Word of God. And we watch those things and then we wonder what people think. Well, they just made fun of your God. Are you comfortable with that? You know, the one that washed you in His own blood? The one that suffered on Calvary for you? The one that was nailed to the cross for you? And they blaspheme Him and they make fun of Him and you're okay to laugh and revel in that? That's not a vessel of honor. And it's not going to reach people either. If you and I would live our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, then people would see our consecration and it would affect them greatly. Folks, it would affect them. When they see that you're different, that you're peculiar people, careful to maintain good works, then it affects people. Believe me, you talk to the people that knew me before I was saved. It affects them greatly. Not me, but the work that God has done in me. It affects them greatly. It convicts them. Many of them don't want to be around me. Most of them don't. In fact, they probably shoot me. But that's the old life I used to live. But hey, I got saved out of that mess. So I'm not going back in. I'm not heading back in that direction. Why would I want to? I was saved from all that, folks. I was delivered from that lifestyle. Why would I want to drink and smoke and do drugs and do all those things when I was delivered from all that? Go about the same... I've been delivered from that. I've been forgiven. Why would I want to go back to it again? You know, if those in the Old Testament had a deformity in the flesh, they could not offer the sacrifices of the Lord because they were not sanctified. If we would consecrate ourselves and outwardly dig into God's holy word, we would attract others to the cross of Jesus Christ. We would. The consecrated servants of the Lord have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Truth and obedience brings the power of God into the believer's life. It's no secret, folks. The secret of consecration is being consecrated. When you allow others to discover that, you become like Samson was. His Nazarite vow, he allowed them to discover the secret of his consecration. He allowed that woman to discover the secret of his consecration. And when he did, he failed. in 1 John chapter 2. And verse number 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. That's 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 14. The word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. In 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. That doesn't mean he's perfect, sinless. It means his soul is sealed, and this man has a desire to please God. Are you living that consecrated, separate life for Jesus Christ? You will never effectively reach people for Christ by being a defiled, dirty vessel. You will never... No one ever got saved by the testimony of one who lived like the devil and never came to repentance. Why do you think the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Because when a life is changed and a person repents and they come to Christ, or they come back as the prodigal son and they come home, it affects others around them because they see their repentance. Why do you think your family members, if you were ever in sin and you get out of sin and you go back to God, they think the closer you get to God, the weirder you are. There's something wrong with that church. There must be something wrong with that preacher. Well, there's something wrong with me, all right. But there must be something wrong with him. There's got to be something. What's going on? Why? You know, I had somebody say the other day, how come people are getting saved there that I thought I heard were saved before? I had family members say that. I said, I don't know. I don't tell them they're not saved. I just preach the Bible. If you tell me you're not saved, then I'll look at you and say, okay, you just told me you're not saved. See, how come people are making a profession? Because they confessed that they made a profession of faith when they were young, but they never were born again. That has nothing to do with me. I just preach God's Word. And when people come to Christ, they come to Christ. And you know what? What I want to know is, why are you asking? Amen? Why are you asking? Are you convicted? Will you also believe on Him? Amen. Hey, listen, folks. I don't run people through a prayer. I don't push that. I don't wait around here from after the service and bring you all forward and say a prayer with you, all of you. The people that have contacted me have came to me when I was at my home. They sought me out and said, I need to talk to you, preacher. Will you bring me to the Word of God? Can we talk about something? I have never went out and found them. I have never went to them. They came to me and wanted to talk about the Word of God. It was not my doing. I'm sitting at home making tacos. I swear that's where I was at. I didn't call anybody. They called me. Amen? Amen. And I'm so glad they did. Not that I saved them, but God just used me to open up His Word and say, here you go. I didn't walk through somebody through a prayer. I don't do that. I promise you I won't do that to your children because I want them to come in repentance and faith themselves. I don't want to force some prayer down their throat and scare them and have them doubt for the rest of their life whether they're saved. I won't do that to them. You come. I don't hold those big, huge invitations. I used to have a pastor that I was under back in Iowa, and that guy would hold invitations for a half an hour long. We sang so many Just As I Am Without One Plea for 6 hours, it felt like, one day. He just kept us singing until somebody came forward. Finally, somebody out of desperation says, I'm coming forward because this guy ain't never going to stop. So they came forward, sat down there, prayed, and went back to their seat, and we finally got to leave. I'm just telling you, folks, I've been around that. I don't do that to people. Amen. I don't. When somebody comes, they're under conviction. When they want to talk, that's them. Why? Because I don't do God's work for them. I just preach His book. His part is the saving. His part is the convicting. Not mine. I just preach the Word of God. And I happen to believe that the Holy Ghost of God does a much better job than I do. Much better job than I do. I'm an unprofitable servant. I don't even have good oratory skills. I can't even hardly say oratory. And I understand that. I don't have any of that fanciness about me. I'm just a plain Jane preacher, but I do know one thing, that God still saves people. Amen. And I know one thing, when people see that other people get saved, it causes them to search their own heart. And the other thing they do, when they see the power of God working on vessels that are clean and honorable to Him, they start to question, I wonder what's going on over there. Well, like the disciples said, come and see. Come and see. Amen? Come and find out. Amen? Why? Because it's God working in you, and then people can see that. When you live a life as a vessel of honor unto Him, they see that. And they see your good works. And they what? They glorify you? No. They glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen? That is a vessel of honor. That is a sanctified, consecrated life that God wants us to live. And when we do, it is a direct reflector up to heaven. And you know what it says? This one is God's child. Now listen, that doesn't mean just because I can't see it that you're not God's child. It doesn't matter what I see. It matters what He sees. What I'm saying is that your life ought to manifest. Somebody ought not have to look at you and say, I wonder if that person's saved or not. I wonder if they are. You know, I don't want to live my life and have somebody question that. By my works and by the way I live, whether I wonder if that person's even saved. I mean, they say they are, but they run around, they drink, they smoke, they do drugs, they live their lives like the devil. They don't care anything about God's Word. They don't want to be at church. They don't want to read God's Bible. They don't want to be around God's people. Well, they don't want to be around anything scriptural. You couldn't find God in their life if you hired the FBI to find them. Or Homeland Security. Sorry, I had to bring that one in. Anyway, TSA might... No, I'm just kidding. Anyway... Think about that. Don't you want to manifest God's glory and be a vessel of honor unto Him? I do. I don't want to end my life and wonder, did I ever do anything worthwhile for God? Was my life ever a blessing to someone else? Did I ever show somebody and point somebody the direction of righteousness? Did I live my life in such a manner that it brought honor and glory to God? Or was my life so full of failure and sin because I didn't let the one sanctifier, the Word of God that washes me and makes me clean every day, that I didn't bring that into my life? I don't want to live my life like that. Do you? I don't want people to wonder whose side I'm on. It's a very sad thing when somebody has to look at us and say, whose side are they really on? That's why I preach the way I do. That's why I do what I do. For Him, that He might receive glory in the church throughout all ages. Father, thank You so much for Your mercy. Lord, and I pray that You'd help us to be those vessels that honor and glorify You. Lord, I don't know the hearts of people here, but if there's one here that has never been born again by the Spirit of God, never believed the gospel, never trusted Christ as their Savior, and asked Him to come into their heart, never saw themselves as lost sinners deserving hell, and wanted You to come into their life and change them and make them new creatures. Well, I pray, Lord, they would seek out the truth today and know that they have life, that it doesn't come from baptism, it doesn't come from church membership, it doesn't come from infant baptism, it doesn't come from anything else but forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that for Your children here, that they'd be vessels of honor, that all of us would, Lord. You'd forgive us when we fail You, but that we would be pure vessels of honor unto You. Help us now, strengthen us, bring us back safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.